Psalm 44, verses 1 to 8.
We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in the days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arms bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. You are my king and my God, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. We do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but your victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Psalm 44. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us as we reflect on the verses we've just heard read. Lord, we pray that you would give us quiet hearts to sit in your presence now and hear what you have for us. Guide this time as we explore the meaning of these words, Lord, we pray that you would guide us by your Spirit. For your name's sake, Lord, we pray. Amen. As children grow up, their parents teach them lots and lots of different things. We've all been taught all sorts of basic life skills, things like how to brush your teeth, how to get dressed, how to use a knife and fork. Hopefully you've learned that one. They teach us things like values, things like how to respect our elders, the consequences of our actions, honesty and integrity, and owning up to our mistakes. Now, my dad has been with the Lord for almost 10 years now. But growing up, he taught me how to play the guitar, how to shave, how to drive a car, and how to work on cars. And all those things are important. And there are, of course, many, many things that my mother and father taught me when I was growing up. But now that Dad's gone, the one thing that I appreciate the most about who my dad was and what he taught me growing up was the way that he and my mum both taught my brothers and I about Jesus. But it wasn't just my parents who taught me about Jesus. My church family played a big role as well, particularly some of the older men. Now, I'm calling them older because they felt older at the time, but they're probably my age at the time. They seemed a lot older back then. One man in particular, a man named Uncle Rob, had so much time for me when I was struggling to work out who I was or where I fitted in as a young person. He would quietly and patiently listen to me as I shared my frustrations and then gently point me back to Jesus. I owe Uncle Rob a lot because he didn't just encourage me to the Lord, he was also the one who led my father to the Lord. And so I will be eternally grateful to this brother in Christ. How would your life be different if no one had ever told you the good news of Jesus? Think about that for a moment. How would your life be different? How would you have dealt with the hardships that you've already faced in your life so far? How would you have lived differently? And what would you have put your hope in? I know that if no one had ever shared the good news of Jesus with me, I know myself well enough to know that I would have lived my life trying to prove myself, trying to be the best at whatever I could be, whatever I was doing. I'm sure that I would have become a very arrogant, very angry, and quite reclusive man. Without any way of being able to understand how or why bad things happen to us, and without any hope of life beyond the grave. And so I'm incredibly thankful to my parents and to my church family who have encouraged me to walk with Jesus. In Matthew 28, as Jesus gave those who followed him a final command, these words that we're all very familiar with, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Now, we've all heard those words lots and lots of different times, but maybe we haven't thought about the fact that first and foremost, those words are a call for those who trust in Jesus to share God's word with each other, but also with the next generation. Our primary ministry in the local church is to the next generation. It needs to start there. To be disciples who disciple everyone who puts their faith in Jesus. Now, Christian parents and family in Christ have an incredibly important role to play in sharing the good news of Jesus with their kids and with the young people. But the only way that we can do this is if we continue to remind each other and ourselves about what God has done for us. As the psalmist wrote, Psalm 44, there are two main points that he is sharing with those who trust in the Lord. And the first of those is in verses 1 to 3, where Psalm 44 is showing us the power of sharing God's word with the next generation. Romans 10, verses 13 to 14 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" The answer is they can't. No one can believe in Jesus unless somebody tells them about the good news of Jesus. And this isn't something that we can leave up to the pastor or to the kids' church team. Sharing the good news of Jesus with the next generation is the responsibility of everyone who trusts in Jesus. When I think about those who encouraged me in my walk with the Lord as a teenager and as a young adult, yes, some of those people were pastors, but the majority of them were just normal believers in Christ, normal family in Christ. People who took the time to come alongside me and encourage me in my walk with the Lord. And in Psalm 44, the psalmist is showing us the power of sharing God's word with the next generation. The psalmist recalls how God had brought his people out of Israel and into the promised land. But the psalmist wasn't there when Joshua led Israel into the promised land. It's because his forefathers had faithfully shared the good news of what God had done for his people in the past. He was given the opportunity to hear and believe in the good news of God's love for those who trust in him. Because he was given this opportunity to hear and believe, he was able to write in verse 3, "It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them." Message of God's faithfulness, his love and care brought them hope and comfort. But the message the psalmist heard and believed in was only a glimpse of the wonderful hope that those who trust in Jesus have. Because the hope of those who trust in Jesus isn't a hope of getting a bit of property or some sort of earthly wealth. It isn't in a comfortable life or an easy life here on earth. It is in the sure and certain hope of a restored relationship with God and the guarantee of eternal life with Him. As parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers and sisters, as family in Christ, our primary role is to share the good news of Jesus with the next generation. Because if we aren't diligent in sharing the hope we have in Christ Jesus, how will they be able to trust in Him themselves? There is power in sharing God's word with the younger generation that are a part of our church family. And it is the power to free our children, our grandchildren, the young kids in our community, from the guilt of their sins and from the fear of death, and to give them the hope of life beyond the grave. The second thing the psalmist is teaching us in Psalm 44 is found in verses 4 to 8, where the psalmist is showing us the power of remembering God's word in times of trouble and hardship. In the first 8 verses of the psalm, the psalmist is praising God for his faithfulness because he had heard and believed in the message of God's faithfulness in the past. But as the psalmist was writing these words, he was wrestling with a really hard time. We see this in verses 13 to 15. You have made us a reproach to our neighbours, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their heads at us. My disgrace is before me all day long, and my face is covered with shame. The suffering of the psalmist and the people of Israel was very, very real. We don't know the exact circumstances, but they were in a time of mourning. But because his forefathers were diligent in sharing the good news of what God had faithfully done in the past, the psalmist was able to remember what he had been taught about God. He was able to trust in what he had heard and believed. And that's why he's able to say in verses 6 and 8, I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me the victory. But you give us the victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God, we make our boasting all day long, and we praise your name forever. Strength doesn't come from human wisdom, from our gifts, from even our experience. It comes through remembering God's faithfulness to those who trust in him. We'll all have times when we wonder why God is allowing us or someone we care about to go through a time of suffering. Times when we wrestle with the question the psalmist wrestles with in verse 24. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? That's why it's so important to remember the message that we have heard and believed. Good news of God's faithfulness in the past to those who trust in him. Because there is power in remembering God's faithfulness to those who trust in him. And it is the power to help us to keep trusting God's unfailing love, even in those times when we have no idea what he's doing. Today we've dedicated Samuel to the Lord. We have vowed, along with Greg and Julia, to encourage Samuel to put his faith in the Lord, to help share with Samuel the good news of God's faithfulness to those who trust in him. This is an incredibly important responsibility for those who are family in Christ. And to do this well, we need to remind ourselves and each other about God's faithfulness to those who trust in him. Because hearing and believing the good news of God's faithfulness changes people's lives forever for the better. But it is also something that we can very easily take for granted. That's why the hymn writer, John Newton, when he wrote the very popular hymn and well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, he included this line: "How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." Hopefully we can still remember that moment and how we felt when we first came to saving faith in Jesus. But even if we can't, even if it's so long ago that we struggle to remember, we can still remind ourselves and each other about God's faithfulness again and again. We can do this by looking back on all the times in our lives when God has provided for all of our needs, even in those times when we had no idea how or why or what he was doing. We can share stories of God's faithfulness in the past with each other. We can do this by reading God's word and reminding ourselves who he is and what he has done for us. How would your life be different if no one had shared the good news of Jesus with you? How would you have dealt with the hardships that you've experienced in your life so far? How would you have lived differently? And what is it you would have put your hope in? If you have faith in Jesus, it's because you've been blessed with the opportunity to hear and believe the good news of Jesus yourself. Because you've been given this wonderful gift, you have a responsibility to share this good news with the next generation. So how can we do this on a practical level? Well, in many ways, we already are. There are men who are leading the boys group each week, encouraging the young men to trust in the Lord. Those who are part of the kids' church team do this every time they serve on the roster, along with those who present the kids' talks each week. But even if you aren't a part of one of those children's ministries, there are still ways that you can share the good news of Jesus with the next generation. Those in your family and those in your church family. You can ask them maybe at morning tea time, what is it you've been learning in kids' church? Or maybe in boys' group or even in school scripture. For the older kids, maybe it's as simple as just having a chat with one of them, just hearing how they're doing. And if you're given the opportunity, asking them how they're doing in their walk with the Lord. Or maybe sharing with them a verse or that has been an encouragement to you. There is power in sharing the good news of Jesus with the next generation because it provides them with another opportunity to hear and believe for themselves. And there is power in remembering God's faithfulness for ourselves because it provides us with another opportunity to trust in him to provide for all of our needs, regardless of whatever it is we're going through at the moment. So I'm going to finish with these two questions for us to think about. I encourage you to think about it over the next week. Who is coming behind you in the faith? And how can you pass on the message of God's faithfulness to those who trust in him? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you brought those people into our lives who shared the good news of Jesus with us. We thank you that your word never returns void, that it always achieves what it does, what you willed it to do. And we thank you that it has achieved your purpose in our lives. Lord, we pray that as those who have heard and believed, we pray that you would put a burden on our hearts to share the wonderful hope we have with the family that we have in Christ. Pray that you would give us the boldness. Pray that you'd give us the words. And Lord, in our own walk with the Lord, as we struggle with various things at the moment, some of them things that we are going through as church family are really hard, Lord. So we pray that you would help us to remember your faithfulness to us time and time again, and to find our courage in the certain knowledge of your love for those who trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.